listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
I'm controlled to Major Tom. I see your blue lights flashing, Tom. Can you hear me?
Hey, Peter, is that you?
Hello, my dear.
Long time. How have you been?
How are you, my dear?
Good.
I see Tom's light is here as well. So my friend from across the water.
Yeah, he's got some talk power. He's just not using it yet, I guess.
Were you the one to grant me talk power, Vidir?
I was.
How very kind of you. It's good to talk.
Yeah. What's happening in Ireland today?
Gosh, same as ever, I guess. It's Paris. If you're not on board with feeling bad for Paris, you're a naughty person.
Aw, I haven't turned on the news, so.
You can imagine just how naughty I am.
Yeah.
I'm a very naughty boy.
Yeah. You're not trying to convince anyone anymore, right?
Oh, well, that's a tough one for us all, you know. But you just, look, there's no going back on this route, you know. There's no unknowing, as we all know.
I hear you, yeah.
But, the thing about it is you've got to know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I found this especially now with this Paris thing. The minute you bring up anything, you're ridiculed and laughed out of the room quicker than ever now, because, or frowned upon, you know, because Jesus Christ, 12 people or 17 people are just dead. We've just seen it on the TV. How dare you?
Yeah. So, you know what? I think this is a lesson for us that we all have to be really good listeners. We have to try not to laugh and just be really good listener.
Well, we've learned that that just won't wash, Vidir. What do you reckon?
Yeah.
Well, we can't do that to ourselves.
It's challenging, but you just have to look at them like they need their psyop. It's like them holding their cigarette. They need that, right? You don't want to take their drug away from them. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, fair enough. If you have relations with people, that you can just leave that aside and get on with everything else. But I personally find that's more and more difficult, because the minute you get into any sort of conversation with our level of sort of, let's say, conspiracy knowledge, is across the board, really.
Mm-hmm.
You're just going to continually have to bite your tongue, you know, and that's impossible for your own sanity. So,
but I look at it like I have so many other things that I can talk to them about. You can always change the topic and move on to something you have in common with them, like the weather whatever. I don't know.
I guess. But look, I mean, it's always worth. But look, the same old, unto your own self be true. And
right.
Whatever situation you find yourself in, just you always got to carry yourself with kind of dignity and honor, you know. And
but if you look at them like they can't handle anymore, then they can't handle what we can. If you look at
Testing.
It like that.
Oh, it is Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Pete and Vidi. Hello. Long time.
Yeah, it's
Hello,
been forever.
Tom.
Man, Pete, you disappeared ages ago. Nice to talk to you, man.
I know. Jeez. I just couldn't believe he's here.
Yeah, I've been struggling to try and get this flipping thing working. It's nice to hear your voices. But you sound a bit tired, Pete. You just sound the lovely, positive Peter that I remember is a little bit... You're all right, are you?
He's worn out by Paris.
One night in Paris. Did you hear that rumor that Paris Hilton?
It appears to be a huge
night,
success,
I wouldn't take it.
Yeah? I don't even know the details. Isn't that sad? Was it a plane or somebody shot somebody? Oh, no, there's people looking for terrorists and the girl's on the loose. I don't know. I don't know anything about that.
Wow. Yeah, well, that's a no reason you necessarily should. Why not avoid it? But it's a big one in the sense that they've got the most people ever in Paris in the since the Second World War or something, and they've just stirred them up with this huge campaign. It's just the Muslim Islamic fundamentalist meme again, and they've taken our freedoms. They've set it around the offices of a sort of left wing or ostensibly left wing magazine. So it's the power of the pen and these comedic, satiric people have been killed.
Oh, wow.
There's a quite a big op. It's a
massive op. I mean,
ludicrous.
I just was looking through your thread on Fakeologist, Tom. Very interesting as usual. What's your sort of take overall? I mean, is this the end of us, really? End of sort of open-minded, free-thinking people, because you'll just have the severe weight of the masses against you when you try to point out any sort of discrepancy.
Well, I try and find my own sort of peace within it, Pete, really. I mean, I feel like it's probably always been like that, you know, a lot of it. Haven't we always been fooled? And well, perhaps. And my insight is something I'm still sort of coming to terms to sort of try and find a happy place in the world with it. But, yeah, I mean, it's just a successful op, and people are just completely hoodwinked. They're just, everyone's a mark, you know.
But, you know, like with all of these psyops, people tend to wake up. So along with all the bad comes the good, too. There are people that are, you know, looking a little closer and wondering, does this make sense?
And Vidir and Tom, even if I don't sound it, I still retain that optimism that I sort of shunned before. I still retain it to a big degree. I'm jaded from waiting, you know, for a big change. But I see it's not quite cut and dry, you know. I'll just talk briefly about Ireland, because it's a very interesting sort of phenomenon here. In the last few years, you've had a massive immigration, you know. So now at this point, you're talking about 50%, you know, just mostly Muslims, I suppose. And look, we're all God's children and we're all of equal value. What? But what they've done in this country is just a massive influx over the last few years. And on the one hand, because Ireland are slow to change anyway, and accept new cultures, on the one hand, we're taught to accept differences, accept new cultures, accept new races. And on the other hand, you have this fake terror being, you know, thrown in their faces. So it sets up a dichotomy within the mind, you know, the one that you don't want to be racist, but at the same time, you know, these bastards, in inverted commas, have no respect for life. So it's very worrying in that sense. And I noticed that sort of trend around as well, you know. But again, I still retain a certain level of confidence. There's a lot of humor in all of this, you know. I saw one of the guys' names, one of the apparent shooters' names was the Jammy Bagel. The Jammy Bagel. You know, it's hilarious. I mean, so there's such humor threaded through it. But yeah, it does seem dour at times, but I still retain that this is, you know, a hope, a belief, I suppose, that this is all just sort of part of a bigger play, a divine comedy, you know, and we'll see how that plays out. I've been biting my tongue or crossing my fingers for so long now, but yeah, hope hasn't quite deserted me.
No, certainly shouldn't, Peter. I mean, I think we're all invincible, eternal spirits anyway. I know, I mean, it sounds hippy trippy or something, but no, I really do. You know, maybe time will pass and could probably take generations, thousands of years before things around here changed. But it doesn't matter if we're eternal, you know, just keep positive. It'll happen, I reckon. I don't know how it all works, but, you know, I think there's every reason to just try and find your peace within this world, you know.
Yeah, very easy said.
Yeah, I know. I found myself on this one because it's so obvious to me, like with Paris, I got on the social networking and I mean, I've been called all names under the sun, you know, and I've got no friends with it. And everyone thinks I'm an arsehole, you know, and you know, it's a tough place to be. It's a tough place. But, you know, being on it, but you might have, we might have an edge with this stuff in some ways. You know, we kind of really know what's going on where the majority don't. And I just, yeah, maybe we can find a way to make it pay for us, you know.
Well, I mean, completely with you there, Tom. And look, we've got to garner strength within, you know. We know we have truth and I guess love on our side as well. And well, we have to be courageous. That's what it is. Even if it means ending up on your own, that's what you'll have to do, because there is, as you say, we're all eternal spirits. We're all worthy of the utmost, and you've got to fight on. And again, it's an uphill battle, but nobody said it was going to be easy. But just to say that, Tom, there's two ways of looking at it. And I said this before as well, that things were either going to be very good or very bad, you know. And it looks with this Paris thing, if everything is as it appears to be, that things are going to be very bad for the likes of us. Because if you look, you talk about looking down the line. If you look 5-10 years down the line, you will not, as an individual, be able to question anything outside the all-powerful, all-controlling mega corporation, news media facilities. You know what I mean? Or else you just be completely ostracized. In 1984, pretty much, you know. But
Well, it does feel like they're getting perhaps the only way it can go is they can get more, tie it down better and better and better, get tighter and tighter and tighter, so no one really knows. So, yeah. I don't know.
I would say, Tom, that, I mean, I know this has been talked about before, you know, it never before has the hoaxery, fakery been called out so quickly as it's been called out in sort of, you know, numerous recent hoaxes, especially Paris, and especially the smoking gun that if you shoot some poor fucker in the head with a Kalashnikov, there's going to be a lot of damage, like, you know, which is obviously not apparent anywhere, you know. So what do you think that the sort of the guys who are orchestrating all this, what do you think an overall strategy would be to have the fakery so obvious to eyes that can see, I guess?
It's the idea that it's done on purpose to be. I don't think so. I think it's more the case of that it's in our faces so that it's taken in, so that people take it all in. It has to be done in a hammy sort of way sometimes.
But how about the fact that it's over the television? It's like it's hard to find anything that's real now.
Yeah, everything. I mean, you put the news on, don't you? And every next thing. You kind of think, what kind of world am I living in? This is nuts. Who do I talk to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, funnily enough, I don't watch TV, but there's a program on Irish TV, which people are talking about at the minute, called Charlie as well. It's about around the same time as Maggie Thatcher was Prime Minister, Charlie Haughey was leader of Ireland. So that's timing impeccable, you know.
Charles Haughey, yeah. Haughey, Haughey, Haughey.
It's all hilarious. I'm sure we're all going to fucking look back on this and laugh our arses off. Hopefully that day isn't too far out.
Well, I mean, I know it's a real cliche, but we've got food on the table, and you know, I'm not threatened with Islamic fundamentalist terror. You know, I think, you know, we can laugh a bit, can't we? That it's a completely fake and everyone else is completely
It's silly. And I think I feel sorry for the people that have to look at this and think that it's really happening in their world. You know, like, once you see the magician's trick and you know how it's done, you can just see it. And I think we should be grateful. This should be a time of gratitude. Well, we don't have to live in that world.
How about this, Fadir, and your Tom and yourself, of course, are both parents as well. But how about this? I mean, once you find out the fakery, my mother says to me, I mean, don't talk to Stephen about, don't, I hope you don't talk to Stephen about 9/11. I said, what do you mean, Mom? I mean, he's my son. I love him. Tell him the truth. And you're so negative, she said.
Isn't that funny how they say that about us? Like, we're negative because we don't think it happened?
Yeah. And the cheek of you for saying something like that and being so negative and telling your son, who you love the most, that it was all a staged affair with no real deaths. The cheek of you, how could you do that? You know, let the school inform him of true history.
Yeah, it's tricky. My daughter's 10, and you know, how do you say that you think dinosaurs are fake and that nuclear bombs are fake and the Holocaust is fake? You know, it's very difficult. She's got to hear the official story, and she's being indoctrinated slowly with. But I think maybe just give it time. Maybe one day she'll come around, you know. But at the moment, she's like, oh, Daddy, you say everything's fake. And she's 10, you know.
But at least she's been exposed to the idea that they may be fake, which is the important
thing. Or then, you know, or just a lot of times just giving them the money aspect, that there's money to be made by telling stories. And people always understand money. And I think with my kids, they know, you know, they point them out to me. They point out magazine articles or things in the news, and they laugh and they think they know that a lot of people just can't handle it, you know.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, no, I hope Karis gets around to that. You know, they're a bit old. How old are they, Vidya?
Mine are 15 and 20.
Oh, that's so, yeah. Well, I hope by the time Karis is that age, she'll be the same. I hope so. Good. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that.
So it's like I remember standing in the what was it, the bombing of Paris, or no, the bombing of of Boston. And we were standing in the line, and my son points out this article about these three women that were lost their limbs and had these bright smiles on their faces, and they were on the cover of, I don't know, People or something like that. And he kind of pointed at it, and he laughed, and he knew it was fake. So I don't know. Like I'm sure that if they sat down and heard from me more of what I think is, you know, they don't understand all of it, but they know that the media is there and they're making up stories to drain the masses of their money or to, you know, to pass laws.
I mean, it's gone on forever, hasn't it? I mean,
it has.
Propaganda, say the demonization of your enemies when you win a war, you know, what's happened with the Holocaust or whatever. Well, it's happened in every war that's ever been fought for centuries and centuries. Right. And propaganda, would you have a civilization if it hadn't gone on like this? We kind of wouldn't be here if it hadn't happened like this, would we?
Mm-hmm. I think you're right.
Prove it, Tom.
But, you know, you get rid of these evil doers and somebody will take their place. I think I find it so interesting how we're so hardwired to believe. I find it interesting how they just put something out in the news and people just believe it. It's like it's got to be true. It's on the TV. It's real.
Yeah.
And they don't question. They don't think, gee, maybe somebody has some money to make by doing this. They would think in their world, it's all connected and somebody would have said something.
Well, what I find is that there's a lot of people, alternative theorists, and who think 9/11 is an inside job and that various things aren't right, you know. They still don't get it. They don't get the bit about 3,000 simulated victims on 9/11. They don't get that. They don't get the all the fakery of it. And so they'll still be an alternative theorist that think 9/11 is an inside job, but they still think I'm a nutter.
But I think it's where the media connects with everything. They can't grasp that whole idea that the media is in cahoots with each other and they're actually designing all of this.
I think that's
where the huge disconnect is. They think that illusion that media feeds them every day in and day out, is vast and disjointed, disconnected, and whatever. They don't realize that it's all connected and it's all working harmoniously to keep them in the dark.
They have no idea, Vidir. No idea. But what they object to the most is, what about the families? Why would the families do this? You know,
that's where are the families? Question. That's what I would
they
say.
Can't,
you know, why?
Grasp it.
Why do they only have two pictures of those family members? Why don't they have more pictures? You know, after so many years, you think they would have dug out family
question,
photo album.
But that's going a step deeper than what most people want to go. You know, they just can't get beyond the fact that they've seen families weeping. They've seen, or not, well, weeping.
But, Peter, I think we have.
Mourning. Why would they do it?
We have a different brain than they do. We have more of an OCD brain that'll go deeper into topics. Whereas the average person, they can't. They skim, they, you know, look into it, they look out. They don't have the attention span. And if you look at someone, if you look at the general public like that, then you'd feel sorry for them that they don't have the ability to see what we do. And then your whole vision or your whole perception of them would change because they're a victim of something they can't find their way out of, and they don't have the staying power to stay with the subject long enough to see that it's fake.
Maybe that's the way the elites look upon all of us, Vidir.
I think that we're anomalies in a society. We don't have the brain type to be able to just skim and jump back and forth and not really pay attention. When we see something, we want to see it that much more, and then we'll investigate it even more. So we're not of the norm. That's the thing. And it's easy for them to just like plaster a name over us saying we say that everything's fake is because they can't understand it either. They can't understand how we would actually be able to sit there and focus for a long period of time and have that much interest to go that deep into a story.
Yeah, it's like you say, like Peter said, you know, they get to one, they see one set of relatives crying and they go, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. Of course they're crying. You know, I think it's a little bit of fear as well. I think there's certain amount of intellectual courage you need.
And I think we lack the fear that they do. And maybe it's not a great survival tool in our pack of genetic code. It's something we have where we aren't going to fear, and we go through that tunnel of, oh my God, is this real? And well, they don't.
Well, I mean, were you two both the kind of people that would always try and be individual thinkers and stand out from the crowd a bit?
Do
you
always.
Like to be?
Always.
What about you, Peter? Yeah.
I guess so, Tom, to a limited degree, I suppose.
I wonder so, if our motivation to extend it is that we... I don't know. I'm been a singer, front man in band. So you're standing on my own in front of, a couple of thousand people or something, running. Trying to be different, trying to be special and stand on my own. You know, I don't know what it is really. What makes me someone that found my way to this place?
I mean, it's interesting, Tom. But if you're still active on that scene, do you find a lot of your fellow musicians are of similar opinions, or what's the general gist?
I tell you what, Peter. I
play guitar myself, Tom.
Great, great. We should have a jam one day. What I find, even amongst, I'm not in the sort of hardcore scene of talking to sort of people like, I used to hang out a bit with Lemmy or, from Motorhead or whatever. I bet he'd be more clued in. He was quite cool. Lemmy was like that. But, most people, I was talking to another guy called Matthew Cause from a band called Nada Surf, the other day, and he said he wouldn't have it at all. He's a New Yorker. And he said, I know people. I know an actress, a mother of a friend of mine who was on one of the planes. And, I said, she's an actress. Very intelligent guy. He's an academic background with family and stuff, but he just wouldn't have it. He's a lovely guy, nice guy, humanitarian type person, but he can't, they won't buy it. He won't buy no planes. He won't buy, he's a New Yorker who just, it's impossible, it's like, I've given up trying to do now, really, but it still happens.
Because there's nothing you can say or do will make them think any differently. But isn't it just amazing the number of people you meet who have direct connections with 9/11? It's beyond the realms of all fucking statistics.
But then when you ask them and you get excited and you say, you do? Well, give me their information. Let me, and then they kind of back off and they say, well, it's so-and-so's brother is such and such. And I don't know if they actually, and it kind of backs off. And of course you never get to that information.
I was going to say briefly, I'll tell you an interesting story. I'm not sure if I told this on air before, but when I was living in Ennis, just in a local pub, been going there for many years. Didn't know the staff or anything too well, but been going to the same pub for years. Anyway, group of people around, maybe 7 or 8. I was outside having a cigarette, and 9/11 came up anyway. But to try and condense the story, I sort of let my theory, or not my theory, or truth, I guess, be known about, you know, fake video and no planes and all that, fake victims. And one of the guys, you know, 3 or 4 Americans in the group, a few Irish guys as well, but one of the guys came over to me, looked up and said, my aunt and uncle were in the towers and were killed at the time. And of course, that stops you in your tracks. And look, and I said, with all politeness, I said, look, I'm dreadfully sorry if that is the case. It's just what I've learned, what I've studied has brought me to the conclusions that I stated earlier, you know.
That your meantime, friend's a liar.
But I said, if you don't mind, would you mind giving me their names, you know, just so I can do a bit of research? And he gave me 2 names and I wrote them down. Well, hadn't someone in the meantime from the group gone into the bar staff inside? And next minute the barmaid comes out and says, I have to ask you to leave. And I said, what do you mean? What's the problem? He said, you're upsetting the customers. And I said, I wasn't upsetting anybody. What's going on? She said, I'm going to have to ask you to leave now. So after a little bit of fighting for me, I'm a regular there for years. I had to leave eventually, you know. But the upshot of it was, I went home. Of course, first thing I did was went on the computer, and the 2 names he gave me, no sight nor sound of them on the victims list.
So you came across someone who wasn't all that truthful.
There you go.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing people would do. They'd make it up.
There are people that want to put themselves in the center of the drama.
Sure. That's it. And we come away again with such a bad rap, you know, bad reputation. But that's fine. That's what you have to. I do the same again. You know what I mean? So.
But I don't think we should look at this like trying to educate people. I know that, because the thing is that, like I said, somebody will just take their place. If we were to have this wonderful movement and move all these people out of their lying ways, somebody else would paint another picture, sell it to the population. And I don't think it's what they're doing. I think it's who we are. I think that we are just so trusting. And if it's not this scammer, it'd be another one along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit like to that sort of philosophy, Vidya. It's like we wouldn't be here. It has to be like this almost, perhaps, you know.
Yeah, right.
Because that's human nature.
You've still got to express yourself. And of course, it depends on the individual situation. Who knows when and what you're going to get talking about with anybody. You know, you don't set any sort of agenda. And if shit comes up.
Pete, if you find yourself going out and constantly getting hit over the head every time you go out to, say, a pub or wherever, and you're talking about this, eventually you get tired of being hit over the head and you don't talk about it. You find something else to talk about. Yes. You know?
I get that one where I think I've really explained it really well for the first time. I've got this person I really like, and they're really intelligent, and I've been really eloquent, and I've really managed to express it so beautifully. And I look at them, and they've got a little smile on their face. They think, oh, my God, they're going to see it how I do. They're going to wake up. They're going to be my friend, and it's going to be really cool. And you come to the end of your little speech, and they just give a little smile and go.
And their eyes roll into the back of their head. And then,
yeah, I think.
You've lost them.
You know it.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
Like I have a friend at work. He's like with me with the Sandy Hook thing. He's with me with the Boston bombing thing. He just can't grasp the Holocaust, and he knows that somebody must have died in 9/11, and it's like he just can't get past that. And then he'll come up and he'll start telling me about all the things that happened in the news. Like they're real. And I could see how, and I'm looking at and listening to all these things in the news thinking, okay, they told you that because they want this sort of reaction because you're doing it really well. and they want this sort of reaction because you're reacting really well to it this way. So it's like you can see how he's totally manipulated by the news. He knows that some of the things have been a hoax, but he just doesn't see the picture like we do. And I think that there's this long road you have to go through in order to see it. And it's not as easy as people think. It's like we've gone through the maze and we figured it out and we just think it's so much easier. We've done it. Why can't anyone else see it? And they can't. They don't have the ability to do that.
Well, even outside the ability, Vidya, it's also you gotta, you know, it's clear as well. You have to put the time in. It's a route. It's a pathway. It's not just right. Something that you can come to quickly understand. You know,
and understanding that, Pete, it's like, why should you expect someone that you just met to understand what you're talking about when you've given them the 10-minute version and they're thinking you're crazy and they're asking the waitress to get you out of the place?
No, you know, you still got to sow the seed, as I said, you know.
Yeah. And I think we have to come up with subtle questioning that we can throw at them that's very, like you say, eloquent, that we can ask them questions and then they can go away kind of shaking their head going, well, yeah, it doesn't make sense, does that? And then the people who have the ability to wake up will eventually find their way.
And look, you can call the shots in a sense that, you know, you're kind of doing the educating in a sense. There's nothing that they can say to bring you back to thinking that 9/11 was really what has reported or really sort of a Judy Wood affair. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can call the shots in a sense. You can just throw it out there. And I guess the right people will be able to hear, take the ball and run with it themselves. But that shouldn't be our concern, you know what I mean?
Right.
Just throw the seeds down, and if they pick them up and run with it, good. If they don't, well, we'll move on, I guess.
I think just having that mindset that they don't have the ability to see the world like we do, then you don't have this need to try and change them or change their view, because they don't. They are stuck in their bubble, their fear bubble. They need their fear bubble for some reason. And they need, you know, they don't have the attention span. So to ask them to hear this and understand it is maybe asking too much.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I get the one where I say it to someone with a very straight face and serious. And I just think, well, they don't respect me. Then I feel like, you know, I've lost respect with people having coming out with some of this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I find that very frustrating. And I feel like that I'm, you know, my ego is offended. And I get, you know, that and I start getting pissed off with people. So
I think if you turn the tables on them and think, because I have that too at work. It's funny though, but when they see something in the news that just doesn't ring well with them, they come up to me and they say, so what do you think of this? Because they're trying to get my angle on it.
Oh, yeah, I get that. I mean, that people
so,
come
you know,
people.
I would
like
I would feel
hear.
Smug, and I would withhold your information and say, you know what? What do you think? And then maybe state a few of the facts and say, does that make sense to you? I don't know. I don't watch the news, but that sounds kind of suspect. But I don't know. I don't watch the news. And then that way you become more of an authority, and they have to go and sit and wonder, what the heck are they trying to tell me? Or, you know...
You're the Mrs. Miyagi of the workplace,
Vidya. Well, it's funny, but they come up to me for all their technical issues, for all of their, you know, smartphone, for all their computer, for all their everything. And now even for all their conspiracy stuff, they come up to me and say, well, what do you think of this? So, you know, and like I said, I don't watch the news, but it does sound kind of stupid. I don't know, you know, and just throw it back in their lap.
I think with me, I get quite a lot of people want to hear what I've got to say. I sort of I got 600 friends on Facebook, or whether or not I've been coming out with this was fake, that was an inside job for years. But they like the fact I do it. I think they ask me my opinion, but they don't believe me.
I think if you bring the items closer to what they can handle. Like, look at the PSYOP and then find the thing that makes most sense to them. Like, say, the money. People always understand money. You know, who benefits from this? Who's gaining from all of this? What's going to be done? Or, oh, look, they passed a law right after this. Isn't that funny? It was already on the books. After this came out, they were so prepared, it was already on the books. Bam, passed the law, and it's done. Isn't that amazing? How lucky can they be that all the stars aligned that they would have this incident so that they could pass that law? See, to me, that would be easy to talk to people about, because it's not like you're saying you know what happened. You're just saying, wow, isn't that fantastic that all of this happened and they passed that law, right? The same week or 2 weeks later, they were ready with it. You know, the ink was right there and they had it drawn and it was done. So yeah. I think giving them something they can handle might wake them up. But to say that it was all fake, oh, forget that. You're like too far away. It just doesn't make sense to them. But if you take one little piece that makes sense to them, like if they're accountants, talk about the money. If they're, you know, like parents of students, talk about how they're changing the laws. If they're, you know, like just things that make sense to them, and don't give them too much to chew on. But I do find that, you know, people are waking up to some degree. Hell, if they're coming to ask me what I think of it, then that's obviously waking up somewhat.
They're getting some sense, Fidir. They're seeing intelligence and passion when it's right before them, I suppose.
Or they're noticing the confusion. I don't know. Or they're trying to find something to alleviate their frustration in trying to figure out how this could actually happen.
You've been inundated with bullshit as well. I guess it sets up a big...
And I think they stand to lose with that, because you see, if they push it too far, like I think Sandy Hook was pushed too far, and the Boston bombing was pushed a little too far.
Yeah, this Paris thing,
and it wakes a lot of people up.
Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, this Paris thing is tighter up, really. It's less obvious. You haven't got any Bauman with any sort of. I mean, there's the headshot, which is obvious, I suppose, but you haven't got any sort of Bauman with his legs out, and there isn't quite so many obvious pictures that are contrived and things with this one. I don't know. I found it, and you see all those thousands and millions of people out in the street in Paris. I think we're a long way from everyone waking up. But, you know, I hope they don't make the ops too boring. I like the bits with
When did that happen?
3 days, 4 or 5 days ago or something, on the 7th, 8th and 9th.
So there's only like 2,600 hits on Google if you put quotes around Paris hoax. No, but, you know, you can try that in a few more days and see what happens. That's still a lot, I guess. Like, there's a lot of people.
Yeah, I guess there must be. There must be. Yeah. There's certainly. There's one guy I know around here who's convinced it's fake as well.
But also, too, I think that they say that people come to this this paradigm or this realization. People that don't have a lot of money, or they live a very simple life. I think money kind of has something tied into this. But I think the more people that they make poor, the more that are going to wake up to this.
You get your middle class comfortable life with your TV and your...
You don't want to know.
And your wages and they turn the TV on every night, get the news, and they just want to stay in that cozy little what they know world.
Right. And then I sometimes think that that's why they relieved the price in gas, because, you know, the store shelves were getting pretty empty because nobody had any disposable income. I don't know if you noticed it there, but nobody has any disposable income. It's all for gas and groceries. So
yeah,
it's like they dropped the price dramatically. They put more gas. So it's like, I think maybe it's not so good to have all these poor people, because eventually it crumbles and, you know.
Yes, I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, civilization, society, I mean, certainly our standard of living surely is better than it used to be.
And it's actually not. Forward,
no. The world's going forward despite all the bullshit, isn't it, in a sense? They're making life more comfortable for us because they see that's probably the best way for them to stay in power, maybe. I don't know.
But it's less comfortable. It's actually less comfortable because they say that, like, houses cost way more. You know, you think that we've got more because we've got all these computers, but we haven't really spent any more because we used to buy clothing and shoes that were a lot more expensive. So
many lost souls going around as well.
Like now we used to be able to spend on school. We spend like 30% more because now you pay for daycare before school starts, and then you pay for college after school. So you're paying for 30% of school. So you never used to pay for school. It used to be covered.
Yeah.
And I mean, so now you got school that pays, and then your housing costs way too much. Your gas, and it's just everything's way too much, and we don't have disposable income like we used to.
Okay. No. Yeah, I mean, I take that point. I suppose I was thinking of my grandparents' generation, and they had it tough. They had it tough.
Right.
Life, you know, they didn't have central heating. It was, you know, they didn't have that much food. They didn't.
But then our parents, I think our parents made like anywhere from 12 to 20% more than we are. So we've taken a big cut from where they were at.
Yeah, I suppose it's just suck and blow, and they don't want to give us too much for sure. It's always that pressure of just you got to keep peddling, haven't you? Just to keep your head above water. I think that keeps us, you know,
distracted.
In quotes. Yeah. It's not some great utopia now. I have to say, admit that. Yeah.
If it ever was, right?
Well,
because you know, they tell us what life was like before, and I think it's all propaganda. We're like, they call us the United States of Amnesia here. I don't think people really remember. So you just put it in movies and news, and then that's how we'll remember it.
Yeah. I mean, history is it's amazing, isn't it?
It's constantly changing.
In the music, we're looking at the old music stuff because I help curate these records and stuff, part of it. But the top performers in certain years who sold thousands in sort of 1967 was not the Beatles, who we'd think it would be necessarily, but it's like someone like Engelbert Humperdinck.
Isn't that amazing? And yet we're told to remember that it was the Beatles.
Yeah. It had to be the biggest album of the year. But actually, in actual fact, in the record sales prove it. You know, there were other stuff that was more popular. And
You know, I was reading an article on how we always do ourselves in with our minds. And one of them was our memory. Like, we tend to believe our memories when, in actual fact, if you look at the data tells you something different. We're more inclined to go with our memory rather than what we see as data, which is interesting.
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, we're determined that what we think. No, I know that. Yeah.
It's like my friend at work, she was convinced she saw the plane hit the building on 9/11. And I said, and you couldn't have, because they didn't show that until the evening. No, I did. And we went back and we showed the clip, and she was stunned. She was literally stunned that she didn't see it. She said, but I know I did. Now, that's just what they made you think you saw with all that propaganda.
They inundated you with information subsequently. So you put everything in its proper place as was intended.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about, getting you to question yourself, your own sanity, your own, the likes of us. Yeah. I mean, how many times have you felt like you were going mad and you knew really and absolutely you weren't? You were saner than you ever were, you know?
And I still go back and question myself. What I know.
I mean, that'll be a test of our strength if things continue along this line. I mean, on the television today, you see a big long line of all the European leaders walking down whatever the Champs-Élysées in France. Yeah, I mean, it's
it was funny that they had one black guy anyway.
They had one, the token black guy.
Yeah, he was like the Malian president or something, and they had him right in the middle with a red tie on. They were all wearing blue ties, and there was he, just the one black guy in the middle.
How funny.
They're going into Africa, I'm sure, pretty sure. The French and the British, I reckon, it'll be Africa. Did you see that Boko Haram thing? They apparently machine gun 2,000.
Yeah, after 9/11, or Nigeria's 9/11.
Well, that's complete exaggeration, surely. It might be complete fabrication, but I hope it is.
I'm sure it is.
Now I have to go. I have to go check out all the news now that you guys have thrown all these details at me here.
Well, it's getting into. I mean, it's ramping up this Islamic fundamentalist thing, isn't it, Peter? I mean, it has been ramping up for some time. We had the beheading meme through the summer, and they've been telling us it's going to go up to amber and. Oh, it's building up, Vidya. It's kind of.
I thought they gave up on those colors. That was a real hoaxy kind of attempt at trying to get people crazy.
Well, no, they certainly do it here. We get yellow and orange.
Oh, they did that for a while, and then they took it out because they thought this is too much. Yeah, they must have had complaints or something.
They play us like fish here with it. They play us like fish. They tell us it's an orange. You know, we know what the traffic lights are like. I have to go, people, good people.
Okay.
I've got to get up quite early tomorrow morning. So, hey, peace. Okay. Great to talk to you, man.
It was wonderful talking to you too, Duh.
Great to talk to you, Vidya, too. And yeah, keep your chin up, Peter. Take care, mate. Okay, and I'll talk to you again another time.
Okay.
Talk to you next time. Okay. All the best.
All See the you best. Later.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
You're off as well, Vidya.
I can talk for a little bit more if you want.
That's okay. I mean, you feel free there. No, it's good to talk again, Vidya, and you make some good points.
Yeah. Don't be a stranger.
Yeah. I've been hanging on. I've been sort of, you know, a tough time, I guess. It's difficult, Vidya. You know, as you say, the problem is that in trying to convince other people, you never actually get the chance to talk about your own thoughts and feelings of how far you've come yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So you spend all your time trying to convince someone of not all your time, but whatever, of even a basic thing in our own understanding. You never get to talk with them about the things on your cutting edge, if you know what I mean.
Crazy dog. But you know what I find is that the more you come here, the less you feel like you have to convince anyone else. You know, I look at these like meeting rooms where we can talk amongst each other, laugh and say, isn't that crazy? Isn't that fake? And then walk away and then talk about small talk with everyone else. You don't have to try and convince them that the sky's falling
and I guess, look, it's great for you, and I know you and Hamad, Kay are great contributors here, and I always listen, you know, and it's mm-hmm. it's always heartening to hear. And you know, can you just keep on keeping on, I suppose, and just hope that mm-hmm. the penny will drop with people eventually, you know, even though that hope seems slight or slim.
I think our crowd is growing. I think eventually we will somehow, some way.
I think so. I think so as well, Vidya. I think it's growing exponentially. I think at mm-hmm. some stage, I think this is the it time. You know, I think there's major things to come. You were talking about Amber Alerts and them being antiquated, but I think America might be in for one. Shortly, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think there's more of this stuff to come, and it's going to be sort of worldwide. You've already had it in Australia, had it in inverted commas, Australia, Europe, next stop, maybe Super Bowl or in and around the Super Bowl, just to kick up a bit of stink.
It'd be interesting to map these out on a calendar to see what days are hot PSYOP days. And
Yeah, it would. But if you had the inclination, I guess there's so many possibilities. Guessing at this stage is sort of a futile exercise.
True.
I mean, from my own point of view, Vidya, I mean, and you know, I'm not going to talk about it anymore. But I did talk about the name fraud, and mm-hmm. yeah, there's no going back for me now. You know, I can't be part of that system anymore. Now that I know the truth of it, you know, so I can't be under the jurisdiction of these fakers when I know that I have my own shoes to stand in. You know what I mean? So, interesting days again. I don't think it's over by any means. And there's definitely a lot of things happening behind the scenes, I think. I think this is all a charade, a comic book sketch sort of cartoon front that we're seeing at the minute, Vidya. And I think there's a sort of a punchline to be delivered. I really do.
And
I know I've said this before, and fucking I broke my own heart, like setting mm-hmm. dates, but there's something in the air now, you know, and fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
Okay, sure. I'll have to go over there. On that note, your dog seems to require your attention.
He's like laying on his back, and he thinks he's the only one in the room. He's trying to scratch his back, so he's just a crazy dog. But anyways, you have a wonderful Sunday evening, and have a great week.
Okay,
take care. It was great talking with you, Pete.
Okay, you too. Take it easy.
Bye-bye.
And just to say hi to Maggie and hi to Steve. I love you, Steve. And hi, Dell, as well. Hopefully you get in contact with you soon, Dal. Okay, take it easy. Cheers, Ab. Bye, guys.
Hello, I'm Del Qua, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.